You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, June 6th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Don't Live by Your Feelings.
Well, that's a blessing, amen. I love also to hear Mrs. Yao sing. What a wonderful, wonderful voice God has blessed her with. And just tremendous. Go back in your Bible, please, and let's notice these words in particular. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 21, and I'm going to read it slow for emphasis' sake, but I want you to notice the words that I emphasize in particular. The Bible says, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Look at verse 22. Bible says, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. I want to speak this morning on don't live by your feelings. Don't live by your feelings. One day at the college area, it was in the cafeteria, there were some young people that were sitting around the table. And it was in the college cafeteria where these boys and these girls were sitting together. And one boy looked at his girl, and he was trying to impress his girl. And so he said to the girl, as he noticed an object, he said, please pass me the sugar. Sugar. And she thought, oh, that is so nice. You know, here he is, and he's calling me sugar. And that is just so very nice. The other young man sitting at the table also wanted to impress the girl of his dreams. And so he began to look as quickly as he could around the cafeteria, and he spotted something. And so he looked at his girl and he said, please pass me the honey, honey. And she thought, wow, this is wonderful. I mean, not only is he nice, but he's somebody that's health conscious as well. The other young man sitting at the table began to look around, and he, of course, was a great hunter, and he began to look around, and he noticed that there was something hanging on that which was the side of the wall, and so he looked at the girl he was trying to impress and said, please pass me the venison, dear. And she thought, wow, not only is he smart and not only is he big, but wow, so very kind. You see, and this other boy started to look around real frantic. I mean, so far there's been sugar and there's been honey and there's been deer. He said, I've got to come up with something. And he's almost in a panic stage. And he looks around and he sees something sitting on the edge of the counter. And he said, please pass me the tea bag. Of course, the girl got up and walked away immediately. And that was the end of the relationship. May I say that your words do have a bearing. Sometimes you can say the right words. The Bible talks about words that are supposed to be spoken fit, if you will, please, fitting to the season. And so the Bible talks about how those words are very, very important. Here's what we see in the Bible. The Bible says that Isaac, of course, we understand that Isaac now is an older man. We understand that Isaac is going blind. We understand the setting of that, which is the scripture here, is Isaac is laying on his bed and he calls his boys in for a final blessing. And he's not able to see very, very well. And so as he calls his boys in, you'll see that he tries to identify those boys by his feeling and not necessarily by the spoken word. Matter of fact, he says to that which is Jacob, you'll note for emphasis' sake in verse 21 again, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee that I may feel thee. He says, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And so Isaac is coming in. He's laying there on the bed. He's now, of course, blind. He cannot see very, very well. Now Jacob comes in, and all of a sudden he says, you know, I need to feel you. Now, why does he do that? Look at verse 22. The Bible says, and Jacob, the Bible says, went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, and the hands, it says, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And so what he's doing is he's feeling that which is Jacob, because the voice, if you will, please, and that which is the feeling does not match up. Now, may I say that here he made a tragic mistake, because the decision he's about to make was based on his feeling and not by the spoken word. And so what took place, of course, you know the story, how Esau was a man that was a hunter. Esau, the Bible talks about, was a hairy man. Esau would go out, he'd spend time in the field, he'd go out, he would hunt. He was a great archer, he was a great hunter. And so he would go out, he'd go out in the field, he'd spend days, weeks, months out in the field, and he would kill and he would bring in. And so he was a man's man type of fella. The Bible says that he was a hairy man, so you can imagine that Esau had hair all over the place. You can imagine that he had hairy hands and a hairy forearm. You can imagine that he had a hairy face. You can imagine that he had perhaps a furry type of eyebrows. You can imagine that his eyelashes were extended beyond normal. You can imagine that he had hair growing out of his ears. A hairy man, just a hairy man. But then you understand about Jacob. The Bible talks about how Jacob was a plain man. So Jacob is conspiring with his mother to go in onto Isaac, his father, and to pretend that he's somebody that he's not. So what does he do? He goes out, he kills that which is an animal. He takes the animal fur and he puts it on his forehead, maybe extending down over on his forearm, extending down over his hand. And he goes into that which is Isaac, his father, and he's pretending to be somebody that he's not. And so Isaac, his father, is saying, come near, you sound like Jacob. You sound like Jacob. He said, but I'm concerned about this, because as I feel you, you feel like Esau. And he based an entire decision on his feelings rather than the, you know why people get out of church? Because they get their feelings hurt. You know why people quit their marriages? Because they get their feelings hurt. You know why parents have a hard time with some children in the household when the children rise up and don't want to obey their parents? Because they get their feelings hurt. But yet the Bible says here over in Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, if God settled his word in heaven, and you go to a church and the preacher gets up or a Sunday school teacher gets up and they teach or they preach the word of God, we ought never to get our feelings hurt, but we ought to listen to that which is the word of God. You know, God has our best interest at heart. You know, when God created the world, he created the world, if you would please, with you in mind. The Bible tells us here over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. By the way, noteworthy, it does not say all scripture was given by inspiration of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, the Bible said every word of God is pure. The Bible says in Psalm 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. The Bible says in Psalm 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You know, when a person makes a decision based on a feeling, it is dangerous. Matter of fact, did you know that feelings can mislead? Feelings can keep a person from obeying right. Feelings can cause a person to go to hell because they think that the Bible is not true, so they obey their feelings rather than the spoken word. Feelings can cause us to make a decision that's not a good decision, but it forces us to make that decision. Now let's talk about this. How is it that we can make decisions not based on feelings? Any of you boys surrender to preach? All right, come up here, bring your Bible, Dale. All right, watch this, if you will. And so here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you and I ought not to make a decision based on feelings. Let me give you a couple of things to think about. We have here what we call the fact book. Now, this is the Bible. You can believe the Bible. Okay, the Bible is true. All right, so you can believe the fact book. So go ahead, open your Bible, if you will, anywhere you want to. Go ahead and preach to them. Just go ahead and preach. That's good. Okay, now watch this. All right? And so when he opens his Bible and he begins to preach the Word of God, by the way, it doesn't matter who preaches it. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that the truth be declared. All right? You know, the evolutionist said this: I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then it was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then it was a monkey in a coconut tree. And now I'm a man with a PhD. But yet that's not true. You and I were created in the image of God. You and I were created by a divine creator. Now, because of that, we can understand that since God created us and he gave us a Bible, we ought to obey the Bible. Listen to it. Robert E. Lee said this: in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Abraham Lincoln said this: all things desirable to men are contained in the Bible. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. This book seems to widen and deepen with each passing year. D.L. Moody said this: sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Theodore Roosevelt said this: a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than any college education could ever begin to offer. Woodrow Wilson said, I'm sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of such strength and pleasure. George W. Bush said this: I read the Bible every day because I believe it. How about you? All right. And so it's very important that you and I understand that God gave us a fact book. Now, let me say, you can trust the fact book. When somebody opens that King James Bible and they begin to read out of the fact book, you can trust everything that's been said in that Bible. God is not going to lie to you. God is not going to put something out there that is not true. The same God that created the heavens and the earth is the same God that gave you a love note from that which is himself, and it's called the Bible. Years ago, my wife took a trip and she went up to Alaska. And it was before we were married. We were engaged and we were going to be married. And she took a trip and she went up to Alaska with some friends. And was it Alaska or Canada? It was Canada. Like I said, my wife took a trip years ago. And it's before we were married. And she took a trip and she went to Canada. And I'm just glad she came back. Amen. And so she took a trip and she went up to Canada. And I knew if I started to write her some love notes and stuff like that, that she probably would not receive them in time. She's only going to be gone a week. And so by the time they got there, she'd be back. And so what we did is we got spiral-bound notebooks. And she wrote me a long, like a 42-page love letter. And I wrote her a long love letter. And you know, we exchanged those spiral-bound notebooks. We've been married now for over 25 years. Did you know that I can go back, and I kept every love note she ever wrote me? You're supposed to say, oh. But yeah, I kept every love note that she ever wrote me. She kept every love note that I ever wrote her. And so we could go back into those love notes and we could, you know, just by reading those love notes alone, it reemphasizes our deep love that we had and still have today for each other. And that's what God's word is. God's word is a love note to you and I. All right? And so it doesn't matter. Go ahead and preach it. Go ahead. Oh, boy, that is so good. Amen. And so when somebody opens the Bible and they begin to preach that which is the Bible and they begin to tell what the Bible says, then that fact book, you can trust it. Now, by the way, you ought to thank God that there's churches in America that preach out of the fact book. You know, look, did you know that that word of God, that's what changes us. That word of God, when it's preached and it can help us and we understand that God loves us enough, that's why it's important. Where the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Why? Because the more that you hear that Bible, the more it builds your faith. Oh, watch this. Jared, come help me if you will. And so here's what we see. We see that there is that which is the fact book. Okay, go ahead and preach it. Go ahead. Paul, that's so good. All right, now wait a minute. And so every time he preaches that fact book, stand facing that way and hold your Bible straight up in the air. All right, watch this. Every time he preaches the fact book, it builds faith. Nothing else will build faith other than the Bible. That's how come the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that you hear the Bible, the more it builds your faith. You cannot build your faith off music. You cannot build your faith off a commentary. You cannot build your faith off of somebody else's testimony. But you can build your faith according to the Bible. And the more you get in the Bible, and the more you allow the Bible to get inside of you, the stronger your faith comes. Somebody says, well, I go to Sunday morning service. Well, God bless you. But is that all the faith you want? Well, I come back on Sunday night. Well, God bless you, but is that all the faith you want? Well, I come back on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, God bless you, but is that all the faith you want? Yeah, we should read that Bible ourselves also. See, that's how come the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The more you get the Word of God in you, the more it builds your faith. The more it builds your faith, the more you'll trust Him. The more you trust Him, the more you pray. The more you pray, the more you get your prayers answered. Hey, that faith book is the only thing that can help you, Brother Sweatman, through that which is a hard time. That faith book is the only thing that can help you, Brother Roger, when difficult times come in your life. Look, that faith book is the only thing that can help you, Brother Tom. When all of a sudden the motor blows up in a vehicle, listen, that faith book, that Bible right there can change your life. It can change your children's lives. It can change your grandchildren's life. It can change anybody. That's how come. Go to a church where the man of God gets up, opens that book, and preaches that book. Don't go to a church that's a dead church. You go to a church where God is alive. Well, watch this. And so here's what we've got. We've got that which is the Bible. That Bible produces something inside your life. It produces something inside my life. What is that? That Bible produces faith. You know what happens, Jared? Come here, if you will. Here's what happens when you go to church and the man of God preaches. When the man of God preaches, it's like drinking fresh water. Come on. Have you ever come to church dry and when you leave here, you're not dry anymore? Come on. Have you ever come to, all of a sudden somebody gets up to sing like a Mrs. Yao, and boy, she gets up to sing and she sings that song. I watched you. You watched me. There's something about scriptural music that changes us from the inside out, that speaks to our spirit. Now watch this, if you will. And so when you come to church, have you ever come to church and you were down, discouraged, distraught, lonely, in despair, felt like giving up? But by the time you left church, things changed. Come on, have you ever come to church and you had poochie lip disease? That's your bottom lip sagging between your two big toes. But when you left church, everything was better. Come on. Now what is that? That is the Word of God doing what it is sent out to do. So when you come to church, here's what takes place. When you come to church and the man of God preaches, it's refreshing. Go ahead, take a drink. When a man of God preaches, it's rejuvenating. Go ahead. When a man of God preaches, it's revigorating. When a man of God preaches, it's restoring. When a man of God preaches, it's refiring. When a man of God preaches, it's refilling. When a man of God preaches, it's renewing. Come on, go ahead and preach. Go ahead and preach. Boy, that's good. And so it doesn't matter who it is. When the Word of God is opened and they begin to preach the Bible, that Bible does something. Hey, you can go someplace else and read a newspaper. It's not the same. You can sit down and watch a television show. It's not the same. You can go and watch a movie. It's not the same. There is nothing like that which is the Bible in your life. Oh, watch this. And so you have that, which is the Bible. Now, the Bible does several things. Boy, it refreshes you. It rejuvenates you. It reinvigorates you. It restores you. It refires you, refills you, and renews you. Go ahead, take a drink. But then all of a sudden, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But then it goes on to say something else. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, holding the mystery, holding That's what you're supposed to do. Hold it. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you that which is the faith. But I want you to hold it. You know why? Because there is some people out there that wants to damage your faith. So you're supposed to protect the faith that God gave you. How many times have we heard about a young person that all through their teenage year, even elementary, junior high, teenage years, all going through high school, that had a great faith and I'm talking about they were excited about God. Then all of a sudden they go off to a secular university and they got some guy that gets up there that begins to talk bad about God, talk bad about the Bible. And he doesn't have as much sense as in a peanut, but he gets up there and he begins to downcast, and now that young person begins to doubt. Now why? Because the element that you put yourself in is most likely what you're going to become like unless you have that which is the Word of God working in your life in a great way. That's what, look, if I was going to a secular university, I would say I need more church. If I was working out in the world and it wasn't a Christian environment, you don't need less church, you need more church. The more worldliness that you're coming across out there, the more that you need God in here, the more that you need God to help you. You need to balance that thing. But God needs to be the majority, not the minority. He needs to be the one that permeates your life, permeates your home, permeates you as a person, permeates your children. How do you get that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go ahead and preach. Boy, that's good. Now, wait a minute. And so the more you hear preaching, the more it builds your faith. But here's what God says. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, holding the mystery of your faith in a pure conscience. Go ahead, take a drink. Boy, it's good, isn't it? Wow, it's good, buddy. Ooh, one more. Oh, isn't it so good? On a hot day when you're parched, on a hot day when you're serving God, and it's hot outside, and all of a sudden your daddy says, Jared, let's go get some water. And you and I pull up into a place, and you get water, and you take a drink. You take a drink. And isn't it good? But God says we're supposed to hold it with a pure conscience. Now all of a sudden we go out. By the way, the Word of God doesn't change. Word of God in itself maintains its pureness. But then we go out and we decide not to hold it in a pure conscience. We go out and we decide that we're going to take and allow some things to contaminate it. We got some wrong friends. They got some wrong music. They got some wrong talk. They're smoking the wrong thing. You can't smoke the right thing unless you're just hot for God. All right? And you get all these things. That then you come to church. By the way, Word of God doesn't change. But it's the stuff that we let in that changes. We're supposed to hold it, God says, with a pure conscience. Now all of a sudden, man of God gets up and says, hey, the Bible says. And the Holy Ghost of God says, drink it. Drink it. All right? Go ahead, drink it. He says, no way. It's because I don't have a dumb son, amen. He says, no way. He said, I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because it's contaminated. Now, the Word of God itself is not contaminated, but it's what we let in, not holding it with a pure conscience. See, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you faith, but it's your responsibility to hold it. It is your responsibility to protect it. Come on. No parent in here that loves your child deeply, you don't want anything to hurt your child. You don't want something to, come on, you don't want your child to drink poison even a little bit. But what takes place is, there's, come on folks, there's a mean world out there. And unless you've been asleep for the past 20 years, America's changing. You know, when I was coming up as a young guy, as a teenager, I could preach in the public school. Did you know when I was in high school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance And in the Pledge of Allegiance, there was no problem saying one nation under God. Did you know in our public school, we opened with prayer every single morning? And a student gave that which was a devotional over the loudspeakers every single morning. Come on. Now there's signs that's hung up in our public schools saying you're not allowed to pray unless we're under an atomic attack. Come on. Come on. America is changing. We're following that which is the attributes of London, England, France, and other nations of yesteryear that used to be strong on God but decided to kick him out. Come on. So what do? Well, just because somebody else changes, just because somebody else changes, you don't have to change. Brother Harrison, your kids ought to still love you, and you ought to still set that pace no matter what everybody else in your neighborhood does. See, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God is where our faith comes, but God says this, I'm supposed to protect that which God gave me. Brother Kramer, you have to protect your own children. Come on. And the way that you are many times is the way your children become. That's why, look, it's not time to play church. It's not time to say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a church that makes my feelings feel good. No, get plugged into church where they take that Bible and show you the truth. If ever there's a time we need to get a hold of God, it's today. It's now. It's not yesteryear. Your children need God more today than they needed God yesteryear. Why? America's changing. That's why. No, wait a minute. And so here's what takes place. That Bible is the fact book. Statement number one, that Bible produces faith over there. Statement number three, watch this, that faith produces something else. And give me one of you fellows here, right here, help me. That faith produces a feeling, okay? And stand this way beside him and you face that way. All right, so that Bible produces faith. Come up here. That faith, watch it now, that faith produces a feeling. Now watch this and I'm done. Here's the truth. John chapter 13 verse 17 and I'm done. John chapter 13 verse 17. The Bible says an if. Now that means it's up to you. It's up to me. If. I say to my children, if you want to go to the store with me, that's fine. That means it's their choice. All right. Here's what it says. Bible says if. You know these things, all right? Now, what is the things that we know? Well, it's the fact book. If you know these things, what we know is from the Bible. If you know these things, then it says, happy are ye, listen to it now, if ye do them, all right? And so here's what God says. God says, if you know these things, watch it now, happy are ye. Now, wait a minute, what connects the knowing? Stay with me, very important. What connects the knowing to the happiness? God said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, what is faith? Faith is that which you believe put into action. That's what faith is. So God says, if you know these things, you become happy if you're practicing them. How many of us were reared with certain principles in our life that our parents taught us, but for some time did not practice them, and we were unhappy? But when we started practicing them, we found happiness again. How many people that used to go to church dropped out for a period of time? The Christian FBI could not locate them. They dropped out for a period of time. Then they started coming back to church. And now they're walking up and down the hallways with a big old goober smile on their face. And they're happy again. You know why? Because you have that which is the fact book. Oh, go ahead and preach it. Go ahead. One more time. This is it. Give it your best shot. Go ahead.
We should listen to the preacher. We should give it all we have to listen and learn what he has for us. And whatever he wants us to do, we're willing to do it. Don't. Don't give yourself this little junk. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to be the dull person. I'm going to give it my all to listen and learn. And what the Bible has.
Okay, now watch. And so it doesn't matter. I want to see if you keep going. But it doesn't matter who preaches that Bible. Okay? As that Bible is preached, here's what it does. It produces a faith. That faith produces a feeling. Now, let me show you. Now, don't get mad at me when I say this, but let me show you the fallacy of charismatic churches. Let me show you something. They go by the feeling first, and inside the feeling, they try and find a fact that has its basis in God's word. Let me show you how most people join a church. They join a church based on feeling. After they get in the church because of feeling, they look for some faith to build them based on the word of God. But they make their decision based on feeling first. Let me show you why most marriages don't work. They marry each other because fact, personalities came together, things gelled. There's some facts there. Wait a minute. Then all of a sudden now they start looking at their feelings. You hurt my feelings. You disappointed me. I can't believe you did that. And everything's based on feelings. Because it's based on feelings, feelings never produces faith. Come on. And it never has its foundation, which is lasting, in the Word of God. You cannot base your decisions based on feelings. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. I can't believe he said that. It hurt my feelings. Hello? Yeah, there is a thing in the Bible called dying to self. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right, wait a minute. It's based on loving the Bible, the law. So I become non-offended when I have my basis on the Word of God. So the more that I have my basis on the Word of God, the less offended I get. Come on. Well, I know why they're in that group over there. That group is, they're talking about me. They don't even know you. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will, and I'm done. And so there you have that, which is the fact book. The fact book always produces faith. The more you hear it, the more faith you get. Oh, come on. Do you realize years ago that men of God would walk with God so much that when they did not walk with God, you could tell? But nowadays, we even have men of God that are so much in the world that preaching, teaching, whatever, you can't see the power of God on them because it's not there, because it's almost just like another event. And it's not supposed to be that way. See, that world contaminates us more and more and more and more. And that's where all of a sudden the Word of God does not change. But when you had the additives of impureness to it, it's not evident anymore. It's clouded. You can't see it. Nobody wants to drink it. That's why revival is not taking place across America anymore. That's why, here's what we're doing. We don't want to be offending anybody. I mean, it's not black and white anymore when it comes to truth. It's well, that's their opinion. But it's not supposed to be anybody's opinion. We are supposed to make our decisions based on the Word of God. God is always right. It doesn't matter what man thinks. Look, we have to decide, do we agree with God? Or hey, we're not supposed to kick God out of America. We're supposed to elevate God in America. Wait a minute, watch this. And so here's what we've got. We've got the fact book. Fact book produces faith. You need more church, not less church. Especially in our day. Come on. Now, it doesn't matter how old your child is, by the way. Let me give you this, and I'm done. But did you know the more that your more you get your child in church, the more they hear the Word of God. And it is going to build their faith, and you don't even know it. It's almost like somebody lifting weights. You can't see anything to begin with, but you let them keep lifting weights, and it's going to show up. Well, that's like your children. You know, you get them in church, and that Word of God begins to... I wonder, and don't get mad at me because I'm straightforward, but I wonder how much love a parent really has for their children if they don't love them enough to get them in church all the time. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm on your side. I'm not against you. But I do understand the Bible, and the Bible teaches that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. One day, I'm going to be gone. You realize in February, I'll be 50? That's not a time to say mercy. But I'll be 50 in February. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I don't want my children to base their faith on dad. Because one day I'm going to be gone. I want them to have a strong foundation in God's word where their faith is based on God. All right? And so the more that I get that Bible in them, the more it builds their faith. The more it builds their faith, the less they're going to get their feelings hurt. The more they're going to enjoy life. Because the principles in the Word of God is a foundation that is sure.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.